go to that one.
And if you turn to page 97, and do the short module offering.
How they spell Kalola in English? How they spell?
H-A-L.
Tell, it's like tell. Chak tell? No.
Chak tell?
Tell. Tell. How you say?
T-S-E-L.
S-E-L?
Yeah. Yeah.
With a T.
T-S-E-L.
Chak tell.
You don't say the T
though,
you say
cell. Oh yeah,
little
that's okay. Chak means you know, clean, clean. Chak tell means you know, give your qualities. Chak tell, prostration. That means prostration means, chak means clean my mind. Tell means give your blessing, chapter law. Can you say this again, please?
Okay.
One more time.
From the beginning. Gosum Gupte Ne Chak.
Gosum, there's two syllables together. Gosum Gupte Gone.
Gone.
Chak.
Chak.
Cello. Oh, yeah, very good. The second line.
Yo Shang. Yi Chu.
Very good.
Cho Trin Ma Lu Ho.
Very, very good. Yeah, wonderful. Very good. Oh, very good. Oh, wonderful, yeah. Yeah, very good.
Chen
for no. Oh, Chimbo,
no. No.
No. Chimbo, I can't have you. So hard. There's no. Can you say that? How do you say that? The last one.
For no.
For Chimbo,
no.
No.
For no.
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 Probably not very important. No.
No.
Yeah. Steve used to say, no, for Nagu. Tamilakada, Tamilakana, Chanju, Chempo. But in Tibetan, the two syllables together. So Steve used to say, the Dashingana, Chanju, Chempo, Chanju, Chempo, Chanju, Dashingana, Chanju, Chanju, Dashingana, Chanju, Chempo, Nagu. Mo means dedicate. Mo means dedicate. No, mo means dedicate. Oh, Gosum. Gosum. Gosum is three door, body, spirit, mind. Gosum is three door, body, spirit, mind. Oh, Kripa means respect. No, respect out of body, spirit, mind. Respect. Gosum. Oh, Gosum Kripa. Gone. Gone means out. Out. Chak says, I'm going to prostrate out of respect, out of fear of body, spirit, mind. Gosum, kripe means respect. Gone means out of respect. How do you say out of respect? Gone, chak tell. No, chak then, chak tell means, chak tell, that's the prostrations. Chak tell, loja. Can you? Tome, nesa. Tome means beginning list. Since from the beginning, this tome nesa dikdung, all the negative karmas. Tome nesa dikdung, tamche, all. Shak means purify, confess. Now the seven limb, first one, frustrations, then second, confession. Tome nesa means beginning, this. Now since from beginning, this times, all the negative karmas from beginning times, want to purify. Shak means want to purify. Kepa means like ordinary being. Pak means Arya being. Kepa. Gewa means virtues of ordinary being and Arya beings. Kepa. Gewa namla. Kepa gewa namla. Kosong gibi konuşuyor. Dungunca çocuğumun. Tümünün kosong gibi konuşuyor. Çağırsın Allah'ı. Oh, so second line. Müşem. Müşem. That Müşem. Müşem means actual offerings. Müşem means actual offerings. Offering that you see on the table. These are considered as actual offerings. Okay? Müşem. Yidu means mentally manifested offerings. Müşem yidu. Çirtin means clouds of offerings. They usually like represent some of the Vajra, Buddhist or some of the Vajra offerings. Ngusham, actual offerings. Yitu means mentally manifested offering. Chetri means cloud of offering. That means many, not just Malu bull means Malu means each and everyone. Bull means offer. Then Tomenes, I just said Tomenes. Kepa, ke ordinary being, pa means Arya being, kepa, geva means virtues. Of Arya and ordinary beings, so geva geva, jayira means I rejoice. Yira, jayira means rejoice. I rejoice, huh? Then you got geva geva and jayira, and what is the second line after that? Korva means you know, cyclic existence. Korva, samsara, kor. Wow. Korva matong, pardon, lecture, that means like, lecture means remain till samsara ends. Korva matong, pardon, means till samsara ends. Matong, pardon, means till end. Till end. Matong, pardon, means till end. Lection means remain till end of the samsara. Can you?
Drove.
Drola means migrator. Drova means migrator. Chiji kolo means dharma will. Chi means dharma, kolo means will. Dharma will. You found Peter, you find the line?
Yes.
Drola literally means migrated beings or sentient beings. These are synonyms. Drola, Chujukolo means Dharma will. Basically, you know, there's three wheels, the Shadamana Buddha turn, first wheel, second wheel, third wheel. So that's the refers to this, the three wheels. The main subject of the first wheel is the Four Noble Truth. Drola, Chiju, Kolo, Korva, Tangs. Turn, Kor means turn. Kor means turn. Turn the wheel of Dharma. Turn the wheel of Dharma. Korva, Raju, what? Then what else? Dag, shame is. Self, shame is other. Dak means self, shame is other. Dak shame. Gena means virtues, all the virtues of mine and others. Gena means all the virtues of mine and others. Dak, me, shame, other. Gena means all the virtues. Ngo means dedicate. Clear? Chanju Chembo means like dedicated for great enlightenment. Chanju Chembo means, Chembo means great, Chanju means enlightenment. Great enlightenment, Chanju Chembo. So why it says here, instead of saying enlightenment, why it says great enlightenment? Sometimes, you know, there's like Herer path, several other path, each one has path beyond learning. Sometimes they call also enlightenment. So then that's why great enlightenment is fully enlightenment, no? That's why they call it called great. I think in the tradition of words. Oh yeah, wonderful. Okay, so anybody remember where we stopped?
On the sideline, a different view of the four tenets.
Different view, oh yeah. Pasankhya, three of them. So just like review, okay, all the cuttings, all the cover.
the division of the direct valid perceiver. Now there's three divisions, right? Three divisions. Sense direct perceiver, mental direct perceiver, the yogic direct perceivers. And out of four divisions, what's missing is like self-knower. Self-knower, that's missing. Because they don't ascertain self-knower. Those school, Vibhasika, Samastantika, then Prasankika, okay? Then the famous meditation. The Vibhasika, Dhoja Maharaja Maharaja, like the Savastantika Madhyaminga, not just the Savastantika, Vibhasika, Savastantika Madhyaminga, and Prasankika. These three, like tenet, the systems, they only have three divisions of direct valid perceivers. And what is not there is the self knower is not there, because they don't ascertain, as they don't ascertain, the self knower. Assert, yeah, assert no one. So now, Dodhya was Savastantika, this is not Savastantika Madhyamika, it's just Savastantika. Savastantika, mind only school, Chitra Matra, then Najajivya Umapa. What is this last one, second one in English? Yogacharya, Madhyamika.
Yogacharya,
No. It start with the Savastantika, then mind only school, then after that. Are you reading the same material? No, the beginning is already done. The first section is done. Then the second one.
Where
the Swantantrika
assert
that one? Then mind only school. Right after that.
Right. Swantantrika assert that whatever is a direct receiver is necessarily a non-mistaken consciousness.
But then you went too far down. We'll start with that, what you call, like, Shala Tradashi, in the sideline, like, Shala Tradashi, so like, how you say, you see, like, Savastantika Madhyaminga, Prasankika, you see them in order?
Oh, sir, direct valid cognizers to be limited to four?
Yeah.
Sense direct perceivers? Mental direct perceivers? Three self-knowing direct perceivers? And four yogic direct perceivers?
So then after that?
The Prasankika. Assert that whatever is a direct perceiver is necessarily a non-mistaken consciousness, but the Chittimatrans do not. For Chittimatrans assert that a sense-direct perceiver in the...
No, I think we went too far down.
Okay.
Up. Yeah. Just like brief review, so the material is about to finish, huh?
With respect to the mode of asserting tenets,
Vashabhishikas, Satrantika, Savantranitika, Mahamikas, and Prasangikas assert that direct valid cognizers are limited to three.
Limited to three, huh?
Sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, and yogic direct perceivers. This is because they do not assert self-knowing direct perceivers.
That one is missing. That's why I call limited. Out of four, there's only three.
Stratantanikas, Chittimantras.
Okay, now that's the one I'm talking about. So Stratantanika, then Chittimantra,
and Yogacara, Sharantrika, Mahamikas, assert that direct cognizers to be limited to four. Sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, self-knowing direct perceivers, and yogic direct perceivers.
So now please continue. Carry on.
Satrantikas assert that whatever is a direct perceiver is necessarily a non-mistaken consciousness. But the Chittimatrans do not, for the Chittimatrans assert that a sense-direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form is a mistaken consciousness.
Understand? Any questions? Understand? Everybody understand? So yeah, the carry on. There you ask the reason.
Skip the box, right?
What is the box?
Apply this similarly to the latter four sense direct perceivers. Sense direct perceivers apprehending sound and so forth. The Yogacara, Shatantika, Mahayanikas have a similar assertions. The Stratantikas assert that whatever is a direct perceiver is necessarily a non-mistaken consciousness, for they assert that a sense-direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form is a non-mistaken consciousness. This is because they assert that a form is an external object in just the same way that appears to one, in the way that it appears to be one to a sense-direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form.
So, Kim, you understand?
Well, I don't understand why the Chittimatrans assert that a sense-direct perceiver apprehending a form is mistaken.
So then what they would do, what they give the reason why this is mistaken, because?
If someone says that the reason is not established.
Because Saustantika, they assert direct perceiver has to be unmistaken. But not the Chitta Mata.
Right.
So then there's some reason why.
If someone says that the reason is not established, it follows that Chittimatrans assert that because they assert that a sense-direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form is an awareness having clear appearance of a non-existent. This is because in the Chittimatra system, external objects
do not...
Okay, now stop here. Non-existent, like external object, that non-existent refers to that. External object. External object, no, it's not just like this as I mentioned before. It's external object. You should not think about all this like that. The meaning of the external objects, so many atoms, they come together, then that's how it forms. No, anything that becomes alive, that's like the so many atoms that get together, like partless atoms. But that's how they define external object. It's not like this is external object. There's a meaning. External object means like deuteron. Dul means atoms. There's many like
Dudhe chamel chandra rabar tesa rukum. Dudhe chamel chandra rabar means something like as a gross,
mm-hmm.
not like sense of like gross, something gross. That's like, you know, because there's many number of partless particles, they form the gross form.
Yeah.
In
not the collection.
It's not the important. It's like Tunjin Emperor said, partless particle, which does not exist in the mind. Only school, there is no partless particles. There are particles, but there is no partless particles. Therefore, you can form something out of, you know, gathering of the partless particle, because partless particle does not exist. No, that's how they define external object. That's why they don't assert
mm-hmm.
external object. Doesn't mean they don't assert prevail, chair, table, like that, because they don't assert so first they need to understand, then after they know in external object does not exist in mind, only school, Chidambara systems. External object does not exist. That doesn't mean table don't exist, no. Part like external object doesn't exist because the definition of external object is part this particle get together and it forms something. That's the definition of external object. See?
But partless particles do not exist.
Yeah, therefore that mind only school saying there is not external object. Non existent refers to external object. Why external object does not exist? Because they don't, the meaning, the definition of external object is partless particle get together, that form something, then that's how they define external object. There are no partless particles. Every particle has part. Therefore now eye consciousness, they see form, it sees forms. That eye consciousness, even though it's like direct perceiver, but it's a mistaken. Why? Because that eye consciousness seeing the external object.
Is an atom a partless particle or not a partless particle?
There is no partless particles. There's no atom. Yeah. It has part.
Yeah, but according to
Chidambara,
they do not believe in partless
particles. Yeah, there is no partless particle. So therefore, like partless particle getting together cannot form something physical.
But our atoms are
physical.
No, they're smaller elements than atoms.
Well, I know, but I mean for them, our atoms are part of
physical. Well, they didn't have atoms when they came up with the definition, so it's kind of a moot point.
No, there is an atom called Duchenne. There is atoms, but atom is not partless. Atom is not partless. It has part. Atom has part.
Is an atom a particle?
Huh?
Is an atom a particle?
Is atom a particle? Not a partless particle, but is atom the particle, and then there are
parts? Yeah. Well, I'm not sure the difference between particle and atom. Is atom is particle or no?
That's what it seems like.
Yeah, particle is bigger. Particles bigger, and then within the particles, there some of them are gross, some of their
mm-hmm.
atoms.
It just keeps getting divided.
Yeah, and then you know, like it goes like smaller. There, you know, many different names. So atom is under the category of particles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I mean, it just seemed to me that what they're getting at is not what the prayer wheel is made of, but the fact that the prayer wheel is no different than mind. That's why they call mind-only school. So they're not seeing a separation between the observer and what you are observing. They're not seeing a difference. It's not really, the emphasis to me, it seemed like, is not so much on what is this made of. It's not made of partless particles, therefore it doesn't exist as a form. That more their thinking is, this is the same thing as me looking at it.
Yeah, it's come down on that, but when you read the materials, The question is, do you understand when you read the materials? So that's most important. Yeah, it's coming down on that because, you know, it is about dualistic view. As well as, like what Steve said, it's come down to that. But when you read the materials, do you understand the materials? You know, why they are saying, you know, like, direct, you know, South-Santhika systems, the direct principle has to be unmistaken. Right? Direct, not, we are not talking about direct, valid perceiver. We are talking about direct perceiver. In South-Santhika systems, if something is a direct perceiver, it's necessary to be unmistaken. Right? We just read that. So then, mind only school, that's not the case. So then you have to explain why. You know, why not, like, there's no, like, privation between direct perceiver and unmistaken awareness. Then why there's no privations? You need to explain. Then you, when you read the material, there are explanations given. So then when you read the material, do you understand? I was wondering, do you understand? Yeah.
In the Chitti Mountain School, would the partless particle, object existing partless particles, would that be the object to be negated?
Yeah. That's correct. Okay. Yeah. So when you read the material, now, Jill, when you read the material, do you understand? When you read the material, they give the reason. You know, so say, read it again, read it again. Like,
Someone yeah. says that the reason is not established.
Okay, so from there, then read, then do you understand? If you understand, then I don't need to explain. If you understand, that comes down the point that she said, Steve said, this all comes down to that, you know, dualistic view. But, yeah, can you, then, if
okay.
you read, then
it
everybody
follows,
please show, look at the material, make sure, if you understand.
It follows that Chitti Matrans assert that because they assert that a sense direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form is an awareness having clear appearance of a non-existent.
Okay, that's non-existent. That is refers to external object, no different than that. Non-existent, that means external object. Okay, same, isn't it?
Okay. This is because in the Chitti Mantra system, external objects do not exist, but to a sense direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form. The form appears to exist as an external object.
Makes sense? Now, do you understand?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. If you understand, that's good. It all comes down to dualistic view. You know, even though the tendency, one tendency, divided into subject and object, but that's not how we see. That's not how we see. We see all objects there, subject here. We have dualistic view.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though it's not like, you know, it's like part of the tendency that, you know, like, you could say it's part of your mind, but that's not how we see. Mm-hmm. You know, we see there, person who is seeing is here, person what has been seen is over there, the dualistic view. You know? Therefore, every sense direct perceiver, not direct perceiver is mistaken because it's seeing something that does not exist. What is that? That's external object. So now you come to this. If you understand, John? Yeah. Did it?
Okay. Apply.
But the shortest way to think is like what you just said. The problem, next time when you explain the material, explanation already given. If you read, if you don't understand, you cannot explain. No, that's why I'm trying to explain that, isn't it?
Apply the similarity to the latter four sense direct perceivers. Sense direct receivers apprehending sounds and so forth. The Yogacara.
Yeah, she, Rinda, then there's no five sense direct perceivers.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's all apply the same thing, apply for everything. But it has to be eye sense, it can be no ear sense, no, they apply the same thing, all mistaken, it's all mistaken. Isn't it?
Okay. And the Yogacara, Shavantika, Mahayamikas have similar assertions.
Yeah, same. No, Madhyamika, Yogacara, Yogacara, South Santhika, Madhyamika, and the Chitta Matra, when it's come down to that, same view, no difference. No? Then, that dojo view, Muslim, material, Shiva, Chava, Kelly, so now the reason is given again. Savastantika system, why they believe, no, direct principle has to be unmistaken. Now reason is given. Okay, if you don't understand, then I'll raise your hand and I will try to explain, okay?
The short. The Satranikas assert that whatever is a direct perceiver is necessarily a non-mistaken consciousness. For they assert that a sense direct perceiver in the
totally opposite of mind on school.
For they assert that a sense direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form is a non-mistaken consciousness. This is because they assert that a form is an external object in just the way that it appears to be one. This is because they assert that a form is an external object in just the way it appears to be one to a sense direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form.
So now if you remember the definition of each systems, well, while back, you know, we all studied, if you remember the definition of each system, so then it will ring some bells.
Do you want me to read?
So now, like, just go, almost, so now that goes back to the definition, it will come, so if you continue to read, and it will go back to the definition of Saustantrika systems.
If someone says that a reason is not established, it follows that the Stratantika do assert such because they assert external objects. This is because the definition of a Satrantika is a person propounding Hinayana tenets who asserts both external objects and self-knowers to be truly established.
Kim, you understand me?
This last part?
Yeah, slowly.
She wasn't
in the
tenet class.
Because
the difference is
there. What is it?
I just said she wasn't in the
tenet
class, so this could be a little... Yeah. Basically, the
difference
is one asserts that objects are external.
It comes down to that. One does not...
The other one asserts that it's literally mind only. It's
just
mind only, and there's nothing literally external.
Yeah, that all comes down to that. But, you know, so now, do you understand when you read the material, you understand? Huh? No, the Jill, you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it makes sense.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Yeah.
So then, you know, next time when you explain to someone else, you know, then, you know.
Use another mic.
Huh?
No one needs to hear me breathe.
That's okay. Kind of no need to worry. So anybody breathe, not just you. Only difference is nobody has mic, but you have mic. Doesn't matter. The breathing is not illegal. I hope it's not illegal in Kadamba Center. I think you can breathe.
Okay. So the definition of a chitti mantra.
Mind only school, that's important. Mind only school, how they define as an object, is not like, oh, this is not. It's not, oh, this is external object because this is not mind. That's not how it works. Where they define external object, when you say chitin, mind only school, they hear with the definition. They don't just hear external object, not like table. When you say external object, what they are hearing partless particles, kind of the collection of partless particles forms something physical. That's what they're hearing when you say external object. It's not like they are not hearing of table or like something like that. So, Saustantrika systems extra object means extra object like this. Doesn't mean more than it means just something, you know, like extra, you know, object and subject. For them, it's like one tendency doesn't divide into object and subject. It's not like how you say, like everything is not different than mine. Same with Daniel Toshio, same with Daniel. Yeah, same with that. Mind only school, when you analyze what you see, I don't see. What I see, you don't see. There is no really common object. What you see, that's your tendency. What I see is my tendency. If you thoroughly analyze. If you don't analyze, you can say, I see prayer, Jesus see prayer, we all see prayer. When you really get into, like I said, deep, what you see is part of your tendency. What I see is part of my tendency. That means there's no common object between me and Patrick. There's no common object. What you see, I don't see. What you see, I don't see. Well, like that. Oh, yeah. So I think that's good. It's all count down on, like...
Okay, I have a question. So...
The science of now, of the 21st century, would say that partless particles in the science that we know do not exist. Everything that exists is made up of parts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Even the atom.
Yeah, atoms have subatomic particles and quarks and all these things, right? So
quantum, what's quantum?
Quantum.
What is the name of the tiniest particle?
Quark. It's smaller than it's a subatomic particle. It's smaller than an atom.
What do you call?
Quark.
Quark. Yeah.
So.
We have more fun names for the atoms. No, we are called like rabbit atoms. Like so we have all kind of names, like cow atoms, rabbit atoms, and sheep atoms. No, we like huh?
This is the duck atom. But my point is that science now would say that everything that exists in this world is made up of parts, smaller and smaller and smaller parts. That's what we found.
Yeah, even the tiniest part still has part.
They it's keep finding, yeah, these smaller and smaller parts are broken down into even smaller parts. So I don't understand how the Chittimantrans, they assert a partless particle.
They don't assert. They say every part has part. Every particle has part.
Okay.
They don't assert a partless particle.
Okay.
So their definition of external object is collection of partless particle when it forms something physical. That's how they define external object. That's object. That doesn't exist.
Right, but they're defining the external object as a collection of partless particles, and that's what I don't understand.
No, actually, it's kind of like a justification for their saying it doesn't exist.
That's what he just said. A collection of partless particles. That's why it doesn't exist.
That's the definition of external object.
Right.
Therefore, it doesn't exist.
Right. But
why? Why? Kim, why? Because every particle has part.
Right. Okay. Yes, I get that, but why do they say that the definition of an external object is a collection of partless particles?
Why they say that?
Yeah, because if they say that definition, exactly, it doesn't exist, but why do they put that definition as an external option?
That is a difficult question. Like, maybe let me think of a good example, like something. Why you say the fire alarm goes off? Why you say, even if it goes on, why you say it goes off?
Kim, it's no different than
same thing.
Yeah.
Why you say fire alarms goes off, everybody run? Why you say goes up? Actually, it goes on. Well, it's not goes off.
Goes on. It's just a semantic.
Okay. Huh? No, they didn't say goes off.
The fire alarm goes off.
Yeah, it actually goes on. Right. It's not goes up.
Right.
Why you called it? Why you say it? Why you say
it? Yeah, but I think one of the things Kim's saying, which I can appreciate, is
push it.
Why is that the justification for this huge thing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're justifying this whole philosophy about external objects based on something that could never, in your view, could never possibly exist. That there must be other ways to justify that. It's just kind of like saying, okay, if the alarm cannot go off, then it seems like a trick.
Yeah, so
it does.
Yeah, if there's another way to justify it, then I will very much welcome you to say.
Okay, well, then I can play the other side
yeah.
of that. I can play the other side of that argument,
yeah.
which is what they're saying is that if objects existed, they would be made up of partless particles. And because partless particles don't exist,
therefore... It seems circular to me.
That's why they're not at the top of the top.
Okay. Kim, if there's partless particles, it denies dependent arising and it denies emptiness.
Why?
Because nothing can exist from its own side. And if it's a partless particle, then it's permanent and it would exist from its own side.
A partless particle. Why would a partless particle be permanent?
Because you can't.
Because it.
This all arguments like that inherent existence.
Inherent existence.
Madhyamika, Sarvastantika, mind only school. They all assert inherent existence. Prasangika, there's no inherent existence. Why? How you define? For Prasangika system, inherent means not dependent on cause and conditions. Mind only school. That doesn't mean like that. It doesn't mean like that. So then you ask why they define like that? Every system has how to define as a natural existence. When you say that word in the Prasangika, what they're hearing you are saying something that exists like independently without different causes and conditions, that's what they're hearing. But mind only schools, that's not there what they're hearing. And all the laws because they don't, that's not what, that means, it means, for them it means something that exists, not nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
No inherent, independent existence. That's like how you define external object. So that's, all comes down to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if there's another way, as I said, no, you are welcome to say. If there's another way to justify, you are welcome to say.
So, Geshe-la, based on this, how long did you study the Chittamantra school in the monastery when you were studying?
Uh-huh.
How long did you study the Chittamantra school? Where the Chittamantra has,
every single day, probably at least a couple of months.
Okay.
Every single day, class, debates.
So we need to leave Kim at the monastery when the Chittamantra study comes up, and then she'll understand it.
It's very important to... raise the questions. That's the debate. No, it's very important to raise questions. Oh yeah, John, right on.
I'm wondering if maybe the point isn't about to identify the object to be refuted, because like for example, if someone's having an argument about partless particles, and you say, well, partless particles don't. Okay, let me think another way. Oh, I thought of another analogy with like the horned rabbit. You know, that's an example of. You know, you might say to someone like, well, the horned rabbit doesn't exist. And they'll say, what's a horned rabbit? Like, maybe they just have never heard of it.
Yeah, true.
Maybe they've heard of a jackalope, which is another word for the same thing.
Right.
So you can say, oh, a horned rabbit is a jackalope. And of course, both of those don't exist, but saying it is still useful because it's informative to that person that they now understand what you mean. So maybe maybe people with a certain mindset needed to hear something expressed in terms of partless particles to understand the reason for mentioning external objects.
That it doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't exist, but it still helps remind them of something so that they can put it in context. So, or maybe also similar to how emptiness and generality might not be that helpful, but when you talk about emptiness of the inherent self, then it becomes interesting. So, like the inherent self doesn't exist either, but mentioning it is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it provides a context.
like when you talk about emptiness from the Pasangika point of view, then all the view of emptiness, view of Sahasrantika, Vibhasika, you know, the Sahasrantika like Madhyamika, then like Yogacara, Sahasrantika, Madhyam, all their view is like, it's mistaken. But you know, why you study all of them? Because that Vibhasika system is supposed to help you to have better understanding of Sahasrantika systems. Sahasrantika systems helps you to have better understanding of the mind only school. Mind only school will give you better understanding of the Pasangika system. That's why all this training is there. You know, from lower to, you know, the kindergarten, then, you know, like then like, I'm not sure what is after kindergarten.
First grade,
then high school, then, you know, college, then university, like that. It's all not like, it's all there to improve your understanding of emptiness.
Except when you're studying those things, you have to then kind of refute them. When you're studying them, then you have to kind of refute them. So I'm just curious, like when you're studying Chitta Mantra when you're young, do you become like converted for a while? Like you believe like, ah, this is right, and then you have to like undo all that thinking?
Yeah. You are going to convert a little while into Chitta Mantra,
right.
Then you get a spare head.
when you're studying it like it's the truth, and you're defending it, right?
But, you know, in the monastery, there's not much problem because, you know, pretty much everybody remembers the materials. So when you say, they know, are you talking from the Sahasrantika point of view, Vibhasika point of view, they know, they kind of know. Because you spend so much time there.
But when you're younger, you're going through these different levels. So say you're at third grade and you're studying mind-only school, right?
Yeah. We don't think like, oh, now I'm becoming like mind-only school.
No, but not the way you're thinking, but does it make sense to you? Like, oh, this makes sense. And then now all of a sudden, now you move on to another system. And is it confusing? Because this made sense when you were studying mind-only.
Right. Yeah. When you're studying mind-only school, it makes sense. It makes sense totally based on the mind-only systems.
Right.
And you are no longer wearing the head of Vibhasika,
right,
or like head of, you know, hat, H-A-T, hat. If you mix all the head together, then your head is going to spin.
Because we're studying in such a different way with the understanding that, you know, this is faulty, right? When you're studying it, you're not studying the faults of Chitta Mantra at that point.
No. Then you are studying their systems, Chitta Mantra systems.
So does anybody ever, like, have a problem when you move on? Like, wait a minute, this one made sense to me.
Oh, not really. And everybody knows, ultimately, the Pasangika view, that's the best, no? Ultimately. And, yeah, when you debate, you know, sometimes you get confused, you know, like, oh, you have to think. You have to think, oh, right now we are studying Madhyamika texts, you know, it's not, I can't think like Vibhasika or Sahasrantika, mind only school. I have to think like Madhyamika, you know, Madhyamika philosopher. I can't think like Vibhasika philosopher, Sahasrantika philosopher. I can't think like that. Now I am in, you know, Madhyamika field, so I have to think like Madhyamika, you know, philosopher. So then, it's not like, oh, I 100% what I'm saying in mind on the school, I doesn't like I am 100% with you. It's not like that, you know. Even though you are studying mind on the school, you have all this understanding of, you know, other school. So then you are not saying, oh, I am 100% agree with you. It's not like that, but you are just studying them. Yeah, so, and
in another country, you still remember how to speak English, but you immerse yourself in the culture.
But that's because you started with English. So my question to him is, you're a young person studying. It would be like, the equivalent for us would be like in science class, if you're going to start off by learning that the world is flat and believing that for 5 years, and then you study, and you think the sun's revolving around you, and then you have to, so it just, I now I have an appreciation for everything you study.
That's why it's kind of funny, see, like when the George Tunev, when he first came to my monastery, I vividly remember Yogi, there's no first black American monk. Perhaps you remember, he came here a long time ago, called Chamakujaya.
Yeah.
So their friend, they studied Dharamsala, and he came to Puja, you know, because the yogi and we are in the same class, we sit pretty much close, no? And he, one day he brought George. And first time when I met him, and he said, I'm my own school philosopher. It's kind of like, you never heard that, no? Somebody says that. It's kind of like, huh? It's kind of like, more like joke, you know? Like, yeah, I studied my own school. I studied Vivasika. The monastery, nobody say, oh, I am Vivasika. I am Sastantika. I am my own. George very seriously said, I am my own school. I said, okay. So I'm not going to say anything, no, as your choice. If you mind on the school, what I can say. But it's very unusual saying, nothing somebody is, no, nothing somebody is. Like you never hear like that. Doesn't mean people don't know about the mind on the systems. So then, but nobody says that directly, I am. So the, how you say, sen sampa means they refer to person. How you say?
I am, I believe.
How you say? I am?
I am.
I'm what?
I follow, I believe.
I am?
I'm a mind-only practitioner.
Yeah, exactly like that. I am mind-only practitioner.
Well.
First of all, I don't know what that really means.
Well, I heard Emily out in Vajrapani went on a recording say, we might think we're Prasangika, we know that's the final view that we have, but we act as if we're like a Chittamatran because we know how things exist, I mean, we know theoretically how things exist in emptiness, but because we suffer, we believe this exists. So she was saying, so I really am a Chittamatran or something because I'm acting like, I know the final view. So he could have been referring to himself in a way of, this is how we actually are in the world. Like she was saying, I'm really acting like a Vibhasakan even though I know the final view.
Mm.
Because we these are my glasses. You know, I know that they're empty, but... Well, whatever school that your mind is in, like I know these are empty because I know the view, but I still act as if these are my glasses.
Well, that's... You operate with conventional reality. That's, you know, the Prasangika school, which I don't understand very well, doesn't deny the fact that things exist conventionally so that we can operate.
Well, I'm trying to say, she was just saying that you, even though you know they're conventionally exist, and we know the whole view, we study it. She was saying, but because of the way we have obstacles, we live...
Right.
Acting like I still think these are my glasses, even though of course I know they're empty and I know they're conventionally exist. And
I
know.
Well, they are your glasses.
I guess I'm getting a little confused. But that actually,
we're all delusional, so we're living in a delusion, even though theoretically we understand Prasangika. We don't have a realization of it, so we're really acting like a lower school because we. This is mine. This is my seat. This is my. You know.
But not a mind-only school.
You just have to have heard how she said it. It was really wonderful. She was saying, yeah, we have these views, but we're still so deluded that we're living like we're in another school.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe George was even maybe making a joke like, yeah, I'm mind only because mm-hmm. I blah, blah, blah. He might have been referring to himself.
Yeah.
He might have been being ironic instead of literal.
Yeah, he was very serious when he said,
right. He's a very serious guy.
Right. Yeah. Geshe-la, but that, you bring up a really good point. When one day you said to me that, I think it was you, said one of your teachers said that for everyday people, that the
mind-only
school may be the most...
Very suitable.
Is suitable.
Very suitable,
so,
yeah.
did your teacher explain that at all? Or, I mean, that would be interesting in light of...
It doesn't need to explain. So, day-to-day life experience.
Okay.
And understanding of the mind-only school systems.
Okay.
Did you figure it out?
So we need to understand that better to understand the comment. Thank you.
Very good. So, maybe we'll move on a little bit. So, make sure there's no only one more class left. Not just no, like, could be this, could be the last one. So, but still, we have like 19 minutes. So I like to finish this otherwise I kind of like every Fred is saying, oh, this is going to be last. This is going to be the people who say never last.
We belong.
That's Zeno's paradox.
No, we belong to the last class only school.
Okay, so I want to give you some just want to share with you the reflection of the rabbit in the moon. The moon. Mm-hmm. There are some explanations. I think it's probably you may not care, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. So that's the reflection of the one of the Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas. Oh, now I don't remember all this. But anyway, the Bodhisattva manifested as a rabbit and did so much, bent so much, no. So I probably need to go back to the read stories. Did so much. And so, like, letting sentient beings know, you know, that it's not just rabbit, it's like manifestation of the rabbit, the Bodhisattva, and reflect in the moon, everybody to see. See the how much benefit the rabbit has been done. Make sense? Mm-hmm. That's like see, like, say, why, if that's like reflection of the Mother Teresa in the moon, what that means? It means she did so much for poor people, that's why her spirit wants people to see, you know, that's why the image reflects similarly, the Bodhisattva, you know, manifests the rabbit. I don't think this is not right to say, but Tibetan people see rabbit there. It's not Tibetan people. So the rabbit, there's the stories behind that, okay? Rabbit, that's like the reflection of the Bodhisattva who did so much, like as a service for the living beings, and the Bodhisattva want everybody to see. You know, that's why reflect in the moon. Oh yeah, so I just want to share that with you. Might be not important, but you know, someday it may become handy. Somebody will ask you why there's reflections. So now, continue to read, and this all goes back to the definition of, you know, sarvastrika systems, okay?
At the bottom of page 55.
Yeah, the continue is now, I think you will understand, no, if you just read.
I think we go to the top of the next page. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Amanda, you understand? Good, yeah. So then read.
Stratantikas and Chittimantrans, as well as Shravantachrikas, assert that direct perceivers are necessarily free from conceptuality, but Prasangikas do not. This is because there are many differences in the Prasangika's mode of assertion.
So you're reading the material, you're reading? Okay, good. So make sure they understand, okay.
They assert incontrovertible knowers to be the definition of a valid cognizer, that subsequent cognizers are necessarily valid cognizers, that among direct valid cognizers there are both conceptual and non-conceptual consciousnesses, and so forth. According to Kadrup's Ocean of Reasoning, explanation of Dhammakirti's commentary on Digmaga's compendium on valid cognition, here, in Prasangika, the definition of valid cognizer is that which is incontrovertible, such as asserted in accordance with how it is posited in the world. In the world, without distinguishing new incontrovertibility, that which is incontrovertible in general is posted as a valid cognizer.
Let's go, Carla. Maybe that's not that. They read that.
What? It's not. Positive.
So now, do you see the order of the very direct perceiver order?
Mm-hmm.
Right below there?
It's right.
The next paragraph.
The next paragraph.
What it says?
The order of the four direct perceivers.
Oh, that's important. But all the other, that is not.
Okay.
So that, yeah.
Okay. The order of the four direct perceivers must be just as it is.
Mm.
For again, Dumpra's ornament for valid reasoning.
These are important to remember. It's important to remember. All the arguments, probably, you know, more likely you're not going to use those arguments.
The general meaning of Dhammakirti's commentary.
Unless you go to Buddhist court.
On Dignaga's perceiver's definite answer. In what way is the order of the four direct perceivers definite? Answer. Since yogic direct perceivers exist only in the continuums of superiors, they are indicated last.
Superior means Arya being. Arya being, okay. So better to stick with the one translation than, you know, superior is Arya being, okay.
Since the other three direct perceivers exist in the continuum of both common beings and superiors, they are indicated first.
Common beings, there's like beings that does not see into its direction. That's common being, okay?
Moreover, within those first three, the two other knowers are indicated first because they are objects of experience. Since self-knowers...
Object of experience of self-knower. That's why.
Since self-knowers experience both of those, they are indicated last.
See the order, there's order. Why there's order? You know, yogi is the one, the yogi direct perceiver is the last, because person who possess the direct yogi perceiver is higher being, not everybody, you know, higher beings, right? That's why it comes in the very end, Jim. Understand? Oh, yeah. It comes in the very end. So now the verse 3, you know, there's like sensory direct perceiver and mental direct perceiver is before then self-knower. Why? Because self-knower, they are the object of self-knower. Right? Self-knower only corresponds with the consciousness, right? Mind. Remember? Read this again.
Moreover, within those first three, the two other knowers are indicated first because they are objects of experience.
See? Object of experience. Oh?
Since self-knowers experience both of those, they are indicated last. Furthermore, between the first two, sense-direct perceivers are indicated first because they are causes of mental-direct perceivers.
So now there's order between sensory-direct perceiver and mental-direct perceiver. Why there's no sensory direct perceivers first, and why does mental direct perceivers second?
And mental direct perceivers are indicated last because they are effects. Effects.
Results.
Well, results, same thing.
Produced by sensory direct perceiver.
Okay.
I think this is quite important to understand why this order, you know. If you wonder why there's no sensory direct perceiver first, then mental direct perceiver second, then the self-knowers third, then the yogic direct perceiver last. Why this order is definite order? Definite order means you can't mix them around. Direct yogic perceiver is the last because it only possessed by Arya being. The rest three are before then direct yogi perceiver. Why? Because they are like possessed by Arya being and ordinary being both. That's why they are before direct yogi perceivers. So now direct yogi perceivers, that's done. So now order between sensory direct perceiver, mental direct perceiver, self-knower. Why those sensory direct perceivers? And the mental direct perceiver is before then self-knower, because they are the
What is the experience of the?
Let's see. The other three direct perceivers exist in the continuum of both ordinary, of common beings and spirits.
Yeah, that's good. That's finished.
Moreover, within those first three, the other two other knowers are indicated first because they are objects of experience.
Okay, object of experience, that's literally a translation of the word nyongcha. Basically means object.
Since self-knowers experience both of those.
Okay, because there's the object of self-knower, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Experience self-knower.
Since self-knowers experience both of those.
Experience, there's the word nyong literally means correspond. Self-knower only correspond, directly correspond with the awareness, not object. It corresponds with the object indirectly, not through, like, self-knower that corresponds with the eye consciousness, they see free will, mm-hmm. and directly correspond with the eye consciousness, indirectly correspond with the object. See, the direct object only has to be awareness. That's why they are saying object of experience, that's nyongcha, that's not just the word, literally translated this word, means object, okay? So next sentence. Say it again. Say it, Jill. It doesn't make sense. Like, which one doesn't make sense? I'll explain.
Well, I guess the one.
Yeah, in the class, the question needs to be asked, you know. So, or debate courtyard. Which one? We don't have debate courtyard here. So if you don't ask any question, then you ask the debate courtyard. To Kandola, to Patrick, to John, to Amanda, to Jill, Steve, and Kim, not just in your class. You always say, in the John class, who's the tough? Top. Or Patrick class, because even though I had between me and John, there's three class. John is much higher, but when there's kind of a group gathering, when it's like finished, you can ask, oh, John, please, would you mind to debate with me? You can ask out of respect. Oh, John, yeah, because John is very smart in that class. Then you debate with John, And when there's class, then everybody has to go to their class. No, you can't just go with John's class, you can because there's hierarchy. When there's divided class, then you have to stick with your class. Then you always know who is the top petty class and who's the best debater, You always know. So then after the first individual class, then after that they finish, then everybody get together, they say prayers. There's a heart sutra, there's many prayers for the last 1 hour, then after that finish. So then there's an individual debate there. You don't see class anymore, because then you see 101 everywhere, 101. It's all mixed. So then if you're really, really interested about philosophy, learning philosophy, you always ask some seniors, class, then the best one, then you ask them to debate. So then you can really, learn from that person how to explain things, like that. So there's in the monastery, we hardly ask any question in the class because kind of afraid of the teachers. But when you go to debate, then all questions are asked. So here, we don't have debate class, so you are welcome to.
And we don't know how to debate.
Huh?
Even after you leave, we don't know how to debate. Well, you're welcome to ask questions.
Yeah, but there's no debate. Is that debate?
We don't know how.
Just say korotiwa. In November, when you go to Manasa, you'll see, mm-hmm. First there's class. Probably like 40 minutes class, and then you see group. You saw that probably. So then after that, they get together, because say certain prayers, 21 para prayers in Heart Sutra, there's the number of prayers they say. Then after that, like, finish. Then you see only two. Sometimes you don't find anybody. So that happened quite a bit of time. Sometimes you don't find anybody, so then disciplinarians work, make sure everybody's debating. Sometimes you see two persons sitting down, one person asking questions. So that is kind of uncomfortable because, like, or maybe you are not asked by anybody. No, you just left behind. Or that's kind of also embarrassing too, you know, like that. That means, in there it means you have nothing to offer. So therefore, you know, something, every class is something like that, every class is something like that. Well, people, you know, by rule, you have to go to class. If you don't go to class, you are going to be punished. You have no choice. Whether you are very good in debate or not, everybody has to go to class. So see, every class, you know, there are a group of monks who is not really keen to study philosophy. So they always, after the puja finish, they always stick with each other. Because they know nobody is going to ask them. So they always stick with, you know, they have no problem finding someone because they always go together. They all kind of ready-made. You know? So then you are not tough, but you know, quite good. Sometimes you are left behind and nobody asks you to debate. You know? So then it happens, you know, so quite a bit. You know? Yeah, then, yeah, Jill, yeah. Yeah, no question. Like,
So you were speaking of the sense and mental direct perceivers, and why those two are coming at the beginning, because they are objects. Okay, so I'm not sure I understand what that means, because they are objects.
Because they're object up, self-knower.
They are objects of a self-knower?
Objects of a self-knower.
Oh, okay.
That's why self-knower comes later, and they are first. They come before, self-knower comes later.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are object. Object always goes first. Subject comes later.
Okay.
Makes
sense?
Okay,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, good things, you know, it leaves imprint, you know, so... Here, don't get discouraged. You know, you are not going to remember a long time. Why? Because you are not doing the things that helps you to remember long time. Because monastery, as I said, every day, class, and couple of hours debate in the morning, then like couple of hours debate in the night, and like this in this subject, been study quite long. Doing this, you start doing the course. Everybody pretty much remember material by heart. So then when you move on, yeah, you may forgive them, you know, forget them a little bit, but, you know, main things that you remember, you know, who assert, self-known, out of four system, who assert, you know quite well, you know, which one assert self-known, which one does not assert self-known, things like that. But you don't not necessarily remember every single thing in the book, you know. Yeah, it's hard to know.
First pass.
Uh-huh.
This is our first pass.
Oh.
Then when you have the second pass, you remember a little more, and then the third pass. Like now we remember what an inferential cognizer is, sort of.
Right.
Second pass. By the time we get to the third and fourth pass.
What's the second pass going to be?
Another life.
Yeah.
another life. You mean another study of glory?
Yeah.
In the monastery, you study one time, finish. No, again, not because there's so many subjects to cover. There's a five major text. You have to move on, you know, you can, or the, unless you decide, okay, I'm going to like now, Patrick's class studying mind and mental factors, so my class already done that, maybe I will go down. You can voluntarily go down, then they will push your Gishi exam. Then you know, you'll probably be like, one more, two more. Years of Gishi will be pushed out. So I'm not sure now they allow or not. If you are very smart, they will allow you to go. I thought. Yeah, move, not quickly, but you know, you can jump one more class. Not quickly, no, no quickly.
No quickly.
Yeah. There's no quickly, yeah. So I remember one of the Tudentashi, remember Tudentashi? His friend, one of his friend from California, American. He said, oh, I will go to monastery, become Gishin Larampa within 2 years. Yeah, because when I look at the way you make the momo, treat the food, takes long time, everything has to be made of, say, I can make momo like within 10 minutes, then I have to go through all of that, you know. So they say, you don't have to do that, you just buy a machine, you just put the, just everything, then just press the machine, it's all made, pre-made, something like that. Probably he did went to India, he realized that it's impossible to become Gishin Larampa within 2 years. So probably just take to learn the language for 2 years. now time is over, so maybe one more class, then probably finish. Huh? One more class, Friday class, then the materials finish. Or maybe... or maybe. Continuous, not you. No, no, it's only like 3 pages left, yeah. Yeah, Kandala. Yeah, with confidence, then you're doing very good. Yeah.
Let's see. Turn to page 235, and we'll do first 3 or 4 verses, Geshe-la. 3.
So
louder.
Louder, okay. Gewa di nur judang lama sangye drugurne drowa jichyam malupa deyisa Chuk chen chong yin po she ma ke pa nam ke gu chik ke wa nam pa me pa yang gong de gong du fel wa shu jang pel wei ki tar ken pa dang kun tu zang po de yang de jin te te da kun ye si su da ku chir And if we turn to page 244. Ganri wake or
wake. I'm not gonna.
Good luck.
In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful chin-raising Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjuna's victorious doctrine, who masterly accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Migme te se wei ter chen re zig, drime ken pe wang po jam pe yang, dupung ma lu jam ze song wei da, gan chen ke pe sug gen song kapa, lo zang drape jabla so wa deb. Om tari tu tari tu re so ha, om tari tu tari tu re so ha, om tari tu tari tu re so ha. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.
Wonderful, very good, yeah. Oh, yeah, good night.